The following audio is from Central Christian Church, located in Portales, New Mexico. To connect with Central, go to centralwired.org.
Thank you. God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners.
Be ready. Happy Frog Jumping Day. What? No, wait. That is true. All right, it's Happy International Belly Dancing Day. No? Okay, just a second. I get nervous up here, so let me check my notes. Okay, this can't be right. This just can't be right. Leprechaun Day. No? Tulip Day. Oh, wait. Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. By the way, you get to share that day with all those other days I mentioned, too. So the one I thought was interesting was the International Belly Dancing Day. It's also International Hummus Day, for those who like that. Yeah, I know, and Leprechaun Day, and Top Gun Day, if you can remember that far back to that one. So we do celebrations. We're always doing celebrations. I never realized how many celebrations we're doing. We're just talking about the month of May here. We got month-long celebrations, a whole bunch of health months. Maybe it's because of all the stuff in the air, and which is not just dust. We have food. This month is food allergy month, mental health, teen pregnancy prevention, health vision, which I printed in big print for that. Hearing and speech microphone. Okay. Melanoma, skin cancer, hepatitis, asthma, allergy, Lyme disease, and lupus awareness month. That's just the health. This is also bike month, global youth traffic safety month, physical fitness, sports, and golf month. Those are just the month-long celebrations. Along with that, we have some food ones, which are great. Of course, barbecue month. Can't imagine that. Which goes along with hamburger month. This is also National Photo Month. Probably never realized there were many celebrations this month, did you? We have week-long celebrations. Of course, we love our teachers, so we have Teacher Appreciation Week. We have Military Awareness Week and month. We have several holidays. Most of us just thought there was, Mother's Day, maybe Cinco de Mayo, Memorial Day later on. Oh, no, there's much more. Days. Now, that's just week-long. How about days? May Day, Mother Goose Day, World Laughter Day, Sibling Appreciation Day. Where's my sister? I don't remember getting anything from you on Sibling Appreciation Day, by the way. There's actually one called Sun Day, not just Sunday, okay? Kite Day, two different colored shoes day. How many celebrated that one? You missed that one. Well, wait till you hear the other one you missed, too. Of course, we know what May 4th is, right? Don, what's that? May the 4th be with you. And do you know that on the 14th, is Star Wars Day 2? I guess that's the sequel. For you kids in school, May 6th was no homework day. It's on a Sunday. How convenient. Gotta love it. Tuba Day, Peter Pan Day, Windmill Day. And again, Ginger, you probably celebrate this with every day, but there's just one day for it. It's a day without shoes. Okay. Most of you missed this on Friday, maybe. Eat What You Want Day. How many celebrated that last Friday? Eat What You Want. Now I tell you, right? If only you had known. Which is ironic that we have so much health going on in the month of May. We have a day to eat whatever you want. So it just goes on and on. We have, of course, our Military Appreciation Day. Somebody's going like, oh my gosh, I think he's got three pages up there. It is kind of scary. I could not remember all these, trust me. I don't think I really want to. Of course, like Memorial Day, we love our military, so there's plenty of days for that. Matter of fact, every day should be Military Appreciation Day in my mind. I work for Richard Bradfute. He's the dapper man with the bow tie. I texted him, and he said he wasn't going to be here, but he's going to watch online, which is perfect. Because, Richard, we have a day. It is Nerd and Geek Pride Day. We'll celebrate that together. Thanks for watching, Richard. So we do celebrations. You know, what we're getting ready to do is a celebration. You know, sometimes in celebrations, we try to go through the steps and make sure that we cover all the bases and get everything. You know, we get mom a flower, we get her a card, we take care of all the little things we do, and it becomes kind of a ritual. But what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to take the Lord's Supper. And this is not a ritual. This is part of a relationship. See, God doesn't want rituals from us. He wants relationships from us. He wants our heart, not just our mind. He wants our heart. He wants us to know that we are there remembering him. So we go back the week before Christ died. He comes into the town of Jerusalem. He's honored as a king. They put down palm branches, Hosanna, King of Kings. They're looking for relief from the tyranny of the Romans. And they really thought that was going to happen. And they really believed that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the one that's going to save them in this world. And later on that week, they're preparing for the Passover, the time that they celebrate their freedom from Egypt. And he brings them together, And he sits down and he takes the bread and he breaks it and he gives it to them. This is my body given for you. And he takes the cup and he blesses it and he said, this is my new covenant, my blood shed for you. And he goes out in the garden and he prays. And of course, the disciples go out there. Of course, they fall asleep. And they come, they arrest Jesus. They take him, they drag him all over town. They abuse him, physically abuse him, hit him, beat him, crown of thorns, whip him, all kind of cruel stuff. Not just physical, but also mental, emotional. They take and they crucify him. And they're thinking, we've got victory now. This person who came into this town thinking he was the king, we have now defeated. And it's interesting, the verse that was read this morning. Because in the book of Romans, chapter 5, and that's what we read from earlier. Bless you. It says in 7, very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, so the thing that I've seen, the message that we have is that God loves us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us. To do something that we could not do. We could not do it. It took his life and his sacrifice. And so when we come together today, this is not a time of mourning. This is a time of celebration. This is the time we really want to celebrate because he did for us what we could not do. When he let himself die on that cross to give us salvation and forgiveness of our sins. And that's what we come to do right now. And it's amazing that Maria gave that verse this morning because I thought she had no idea what I was going to talk about. I had no idea that she's going to get that verse, the same verse. The other great thing that gives us great hope is it says, and later on in Romans, Romans 8, there's nothing, nothing above, below, nothing, no power, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's how much he loves us because he won't let anything come between us. Okay, so let's go together. Let's take this time of celebration. Let's remember our relationship with Christ. Let's renew our relationship. And if we're at a point where maybe we've drifted away a little bit, let's make that time to reconsecrate ourselves and draw closer to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. We thank you for the sacrifice you've made for us. We thank you for giving your life for our salvation. Father, as we partake of the communion today, let us just remember all that you've done. Let us renew our spirit with you, and let us grow deeper in your love. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Marie and I took Caden on a camping trip last summer. We stopped at a presidential wax museum, and we snapped this pic right here. I think he's going to make a pretty awesome president of the United States, don't you? It actually reminds me of a story. The story goes that while campaigning for re-election, Bush's caravan stopped to refuel. So Barbara recognized the gas station attendant as an ex-boyfriend. And so she hopped out. She talked and chatted and laughed with him for a while. And when she returns to the presidential limo and she tells George who the gas attendant is, he says, just think, if you'd married him, you'd be married to a gas station attendant. But thankfully, since you married me, you're married to the President of the United States, the most powerful man in the entire world. And Barbara looks at him and says, oh, George, honey, bless your heart. If I had married that guy, he'd be president. We're so thankful for the women in our lives who make us better people. Amen? These women, these moms, these wives, these powerful women in our lives that encourage us to be better. They often believe in us more than we believe in ourselves. They pray us through. I'm a product of that. They get on their knees and they cry out to God. They're always in our corner. They love us relentlessly. They keep us on the straight and narrow. And we honor them today. And I'm so thankful. You saw the open that we started out with. Emma Janae put that together for me. I love middle naming her any opportunity I get. And so you see people like me. I'm so thankful that God uses people like me. People like me in need of grace. People like me that have a past. People like me that get a little overwhelmed at the future. People like me that aren't sure if they're ever going to quite measure up. But I'm so thankful that he uses people like me that are willing to let God use them and push them. God uses people like me and people like you. You see, we've got our gifts and our talents and our abilities, but at the end of the day, we're all just ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. Amen. And I hope that that's what you hear today as we go to that next slide. We're all just ordinary people serving an extraordinary God. So welcome online and on the radio. Last week we were in Hebrews 6, 18 through 19. We were talking about prayer. Prayer is an anchor for my soul. Hebrews 6, 18 through 19 says, Jesus, right? This hope is our victory, that Jesus goes before us, that the veil was torn with his death and his resurrection. And so we believe that his grace covers us, his blood covers us. And by that we are free. You heard the video. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I hope you hear that and you feel that over and over and over again. Where do we go when all seems lost? Prayer. We pray, we cry out to God because it's an anchor for our souls. So we're going to start in Proverbs. We're going to spend most of our time there today. So if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 1:7, and we're going to read this passage of Scripture as we start to look at Proverbs 31 today. So Proverbs 1:7, if you're already there, right? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so we look at fear. You know, fear is a powerful motivator, right? So when I'm running, if I see a pit bull off to the side in my purview, right, I can run a little bit faster, can't I? Fear can be an absolute powerful motivator. Scared, terrified. But there's also another aspect of fear that we need to remember when we come before our Heavenly Father, and that is awe and reverence. We all seem to be getting a good grip on that. And I say that because the last couple of weeks in worship, it has been powerful to hear your voices joined with ours on stage. To give God the glory. To lift up your heart and your voices, knowing that He is worthy to be praised. Amen. And so we know that God is bigger than our circumstances. We know as God is bigger than anything that we can ever dream of. And God's got big dreams for each and every one of us. God wants you to get where God wants you to go more than you want to get where God wants you to go. He wants to speak to us. He wants to hear from us. And so we come before him in awe. Wisdom and instruction. This pretty much sums up the entire book of Proverbs. King Solomon sets it up perfectly here in this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning. You see, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding does not mean much if you don't fear God. If you don't believe he's bigger than your circumstances, then trust in the Lord doesn't mean much because you're still worried about what you can take care of and what you can do within your control. But when we come to him in fear and awe and reverence and we relinquish all those things that we seem to hold on to, there is a power in that and there is a wisdom and an instruction. So Proverbs 31:30 is where we're at today. We're going to actually spend most of our time in Proverbs 31, but I want to start with this verse today because this verse is really the linchpin of the entire portion of verses that we're going to look at. This is the reason why this is a portrait of a worthy woman. It all starts in verse 30. If you miss verse 30, you miss the lens which we're looking at for the rest of this chapter. You see, Proverbs 31 is an amazing book. If you haven't read it, it's an amazing book full of wisdom. There's actually 31 chapters in it. And so you could read a chapter a day. You could add it to your Bible study. It's pretty easy. You read it over and over and over again. I'm finally understanding some of the things after reading it 6, 7, 8, 14 times that I didn't understand before. It's a powerful, powerful book. There's a resource called Proverbs 31 Ministries, right, for women. And so many of you have heard these verses, and many of you have seen these examples of Proverbs 31, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. So charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman, if we could go back just for a second, Chuck, I'm sorry, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Fears the Lord. And so as I was studying this Hebrew word here, happens in another portion of Scripture. And so I turned to Deuteronomy 10, 12. And you don't have to necessarily turn there because it's about to be on the screen for you. Deuteronomy 10, 12 says, "What does the Lord your God require of you?" And I don't know about you, but I've got my pen and my paper out, and I'm writing because I want to know what he requires of me. I want to know all the things that I have to attain to because I'm pretty sure that I'm not good enough, so I'm going to have to start taking these notes. And he says, nah, it's not a spiritual checklist. This is what you need to do. Fear the Lord your God. Fear the Lord. Come to him in awe and reverence. Walk in all his ways. Love him. Serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's what he's asking for. He's asking for us to fear him. And when we fear him and come in awe and reverence for him into his presence, then we begin to see this wisdom and this instruction pouring out into our lives. You know, this is for everyone. This is not just a Proverbs 31 woman a sermon here. This is for everybody. And you'll see, guys, in just a little bit, that there are godly principles to be found in Proverbs 31 for us too. I believe you change the world through people like me. Ordinary, everyday people allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us so he can work through us. So what do we bring to this conversation of Proverbs 31? I'll tell you what I bring. This slide right here, right? So I typically think that this is what I look like when I'm trying to do housework. Unfortunately, my view of Proverbs 31 is a little flawed because sometimes I equate it with just all of this stuff. I'll give you an example. So one day, Marie was out and about. She was probably painting, maybe having coffee or something like that, and I wanted to surprise her, right? Some of you guys have done this before too. I'm going to clean the house before she gets home, right? I'm going to get it clean. I'm going to get it spotless. I'm pretty sure the kids had been fed as well, so I think it was a good day. I had almost started the laundry, and I had this list of things going in my head, and I was so super proud of myself that I went ahead and got out my phone, and I texted real quick, and I gave her my list, and then I just hashtag Proverbs 31, say. But that's not exactly what a Proverbs 31 woman looks like. What else do I bring to the conversation? I remember when I was very young, I told my mom, when I grow up, I'm going to marry an independent, take charge kind of woman, just like you. And if you know Marie, you know I did, right? And I'm so thankful that there are so many powerful and strong and independent take charge kind of women in our congregation today. We honor all of you mothers today. So Proverbs 31 really isn't hard for me to read. It's not. I'm a guy, right? And so I wanted to know how women felt about this passage. I needed to understand a little bit more and its content. So I asked this question of several of our ladies here at Central, and you're going to see the question coming up on the screen. And I'm going to share some of their answers with you as we continue to look at Proverbs 31 and kind of shape this conversation, this understanding of what these 22 verses mean as they're walked out in our lives. Does the woman described in Proverbs 31 challenge and motivate you or frustrate and discourage you? And I would say it's probably half and half, probably split down the middle. This whole chapter is about identity and calling out destiny. I love this lady's response as we start to look at Proverbs 31. It mostly inspires me, but I know that I'm imperfect and do not fulfill all of these. That's why I'm so grateful for the love of Jesus to fill those gaps in me that are imperfect. And I need to tell you that I tried to run the whole gamut of women that I surveyed. Seasoned veterans, right, with kids. New moms. Single moms. I even interviewed a couple of women that weren't married yet. And so these are their responses. After reading that for the first time since becoming a mom, it definitely overwhelms me more than anything. How am I supposed to do any, let alone all of those things, when I can barely be on time anywhere or make sure that things are there are enough clean clothes for the day or even food in the house? I mean, I definitely do the get up while still night part, but that's about it. Is this resonating with any of you ladies out there? This is real life. Mostly when I read these passages, I just see all the things I am not. I'm not called to be perfect, but it's nice to have scripture to reference the character traits and work ethic that I'm called to have. And I don't really see Proverbs 31 this way, and so it was really great insight for this comment, and it's really got me thinking on the different ways that the church could use Proverbs 31 as a spiritual checklist. And so listen to this and see what you think. The global church's usage of her as a weapon often discourages me and makes me feel like I would never be enough. After many talks with God and wrestling over this specific woman, she pops up in my prayer journal every few weeks, so it's an ongoing process. I have found some peace and love for her. She also said, if Proverbs 31 woman and I were friends on Facebook, our relationship would be, it's complicated. It can be somewhat discouraging when you are at your wit's end. She's being superwoman, and you know you'll never be able to attain such perfection. Sometimes it isn't even a woman revered by our culture, meaning that maybe this is a celebrity or somebody that we put on a pedestal, but a woman in our own circumference that we know only from afar who seems to have it all together. We might see them at church or on Facebook and see online images of their activities or the awards their children are getting at school or in sports. We may see a glimpse of their story and try to follow in their footsteps. They're godly women after all, right? And so we think maybe that's a good idea. Maybe we should all be the same. But you are created as a unique individual. There is only one of you. And God, the creator of the universe, cared enough about you to create you. We are not carbon copies of one another. We are individuals who allow ourselves to be used by our Heavenly Father. As a single woman, I am all things in my family, so it is crazy challenging to be all things and do them well. However, as long as one tempers this model of ideal womanhood with the understanding that we cannot imitate every detail perfectly, then the woman or women described in this passage are inspiring. So those are just some of the ideas, some of the thoughts that the ladies here at Central had while we were looking at Proverbs 31. And so as we get closer to reading it together, I want you to see this diagram up on the screen. This is the structure of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31. This is really embodied wisdom. We see that in verse 30, right? The fear of the Lord, and she is greatly praised because of that. Because of verse 30, she does all of these other things, and we're going to see that these are principles to live by. This is a poem of praise for a worthy woman. One of the amazing things is the guy whoever this guy was that wrote it, and most people think it's King Solomon, is either referencing how his mother was during his lifetime or referencing her wisdom that she has given to him. His mom's name was Bathsheba. The structure of Proverbs 31, 10 through 31 is an alphabetic acrostic. It means that there are 22 lines in there. There's 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so each line gets a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That alone is pretty cool to me. But it's also chiastic in structure. Chiastic is just a big word for diagonal, okay? And so we see this chiastic structure as we take a look at this. And so you'll see you start at the beginning on A and you end at A prime. But if we take a look, we see the main idea from that verse in verse 10 is high value of a good wife. The ending, A prime, high value of a good wife in verses 30 through 31. I love this. As a songwriter, this is a beautiful tribute to a life well lived, to the portrait of a worthy woman. Some of the other things we look at, E is one of my favorite. Wife had no fear of snow in verse 21a. And as we follow along and we see its corresponding letter in E prime, we see wife had no fear of the future. It's awesome the way this is led out. The apex is public respect for the husband. You remember our story. No, if I'd married him, he'd be president. Our moms, our wives make us better people, make us better men. I am better because of my relationship with my beautiful wife. So it's not a checklist as we continue. This is not a spiritual checklist. When we turn Proverbs 31 into a spiritual checklist, we crush the women in our churches. We hold them to an almost impossible kind of thing that we put together. There's a spiritual checklist, though, versus the to-do list for the day, right? So a spiritual checklist going through all of the passages in Proverbs 31 and marking them down. Okay, I got to make my own clothes. I got to get up early. I can't go to bed. You know, we're marking all of these downs. We're looking through the text and we're making the spiritual checklist for ourselves. This is not what we're doing, okay? It's different from to-do checklist, right? So a to-do is these are the things that I have to get done during the day. I want to make sure that you understand that as we continue. The spiritual checklist works something like this. She rises early, right? I know some women that do that, right? Some women get up really, really early. And it says her light doesn't go out. So in Proverbs 31, we see that she gets up early and her light doesn't go out. But she's actually not getting up early because her light never went out. So she never gets any sleep, right? So this is impossible to do. Eventually, she's going to crash and burn. There's not enough coffee in the world for that to sustain that pace. And I love what one of the ladies shared. I have to boil Proverbs 31 down to something that makes sense to me in 2018. When I do, I can glean characteristics that are worthy, challenging, and motivating. So what is it? Proverbs 31 are principles then to be pursued, not practices to be prescribed. There are principles to be pursued, and we're about to take a look at some of those principles.
So we find this within the scripture. And so the first one is a godly woman seeks to be diligent in caring for her family. And this may look different from some of you. If you have full-time jobs, you're working there to support your family, you're still finding time at the end of the day to spend time with each one of them. If you have a special needs kiddo, one in particular, you're loving on them and you're spending a great deal of time with them, but I don't know how you do it, you still manage to find time for the rest of your family. It's amazing. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom, and maybe you homeschool, or you make sure that they have everything they need throughout the day. Whatever that looks like, a godly woman is diligent in caring for her family. A godly woman exercises prudence, intelligence, and foresight, right? In working within the confines of the family's income. And we see in the scripture that she makes her own clothes. Now, this doesn't mean that you have to go out and make your own clothes, but maybe you're trying to get the best deal. Maybe you're trying to do what you can do for your family. I know there were times when my mom did without so we could have brand new high tops for our basketball team. And so a godly woman exercises prudence and is always looking out for her family. And lastly, a godly woman is generous to those in need. Generous of her time, generous maybe of her money, generous of her relationships, of the way that she encourages and mentors those other women around her, in the way that she loves her husband well or her kids well. And I love this statement. I'm grateful that we live this side of the veil, from one of the ladies. We can add grace and redemption to the woman who is described because of what Jesus has done in our lives, because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, because he conquered the grave. He extends his grace to us, and his grace covers, it says, a multitude of sins, anything that you have ever done. And because of that grace, we extend grace to one another. Doesn't matter if we're a man or a woman. We should all be extending grace in our relationships. So what about the Proverbs 31 man? You guys thought that you were getting off scot-free, and that's not necessarily so. So I say you guys, I'm in it too. Sorry, I don't know why I said that. A godly man treasures his wife. If we look at Proverbs 31:10, we see an excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. And so we see in those verses that a godly man treasures his wife, and we ask these questions: is my wife precious to me? Does she sense how much I adore her? You can add moms there too. Does my mom sense how much I adore her? And this one was kind of tough for me. I almost didn't type it. After God himself, would she believe how dear she is to me because of how I love her? Not because I tell her I love her, but because of how I love her. Am I loving her well? Does she know how I feel about her? Do the powerful women in our lives know how we feel about them by the way we show them our love? A godly man creates a culture of flourishing. Proverbs 31:11. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. And I can just imagine the guy sitting on his easy chair as the lady in Proverbs 31 says, I'm going to go check out a piece of land. I'll be right back. And he says, you go. I fully support you. I trust you. I want you to do whatever God calls you to do. I believe in you. A godly man is an encourager. Proverbs 31:28-29 says, her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. A godly man is an encourager. We should be encouraging those women in our lives. We should be encouraging one another, watering one another, as it were, so we can grow. So when we pour into others' lives, we see that happening. It's a blueprint. This is one of the ladies saying this, for husbands and children to bless their wife and mother, to establish a foundation of honor and respect, and seeing her as she is, as well as what she does for them. And as the team comes up, we see time. We could let this spiritual checklist get in the way. We could think that we'll never measure up, and that kind of gets in the way. And we get so worried about whether or not we're living up to somebody else's standard. But time happens. You see, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Wasn't that long ago? It was a long time ago when I was 4, heading out, and my mom said, "Where are you going?" "Well, a man's got to do what a man's got to do, Mom." I was very advanced. Wasn't very long ago that I witnessed the birth of my baby girl and saw my wife in a whole new beautiful light. Wasn't that long ago when I saw my son graduate. And Mother's Days have come and gone, and we've worked our hardest to make meals at the last minute or buy cards. You know, it's interesting in biblical Hebrew that the same form of the verb can be translated in past, present, or future. See, biblical Hebrew works in aspect and not necessarily tense. And so it's actually dependent on context and various grammatical cues. So we're finally going to read the passage as we finish up. So if you'll turn with me to Proverbs 31, we're going to start in verse 10. And I'm going to change the tense. "An excellent wife who can find, she is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusted in her, and he had no lack of gain. She did him good and not harm all the days of her life. She sought wool and flax and worked with willing hands. She was like the ships of the merchant. She would bring her food from afar. She rose while it was yet night and provided food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considered a field and bought it. With the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. She dressed herself with strength and made her arms strong. She perceived that her merchandise was profitable. Her lamp did not go out at night. She put her hands to the distaff, and her hands held the spindle. She opened her hand to the poor and reached out her hands to the needy. She was not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household were clothed in scarlet. She made bed coverings for herself. Her clothing was fine linen and purple royalty. Her husband is known in the gates and is sitting among the elders of the land. She made linen garments and sold them. She delivered sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity were her clothing, and she laughed at the time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness was on her tongue. She looked well to the ways of her household. It did not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rose up and called her blessed. Her husband also, and he praised her. Many women have done excellently, but you have surpassed them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she is. Give her of the fruit of her hands, so that her works may praise her in the gates." You see, as we finish up, when the verbs are translated to the past, the perfect woman is a bit more possible to find in the present. When we go to the scripture and we allow her to be a mentor of a life well lived, and we see the godly principles at work for both women and men, it calls us to a deeper understanding of how God wants to work in our lives. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all of this. So as you stand with me, come in awe and reverence as we sing "Who He Says We Are."
Thank you for listening to audio from Central Christian Church in Portales, New Mexico. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for those copies or alter the content in any way without permission. To connect with us, visit our website at centralwired.org.